Over the past few Sundays, we have seen the disciples of Jesus struggle to understand his resurrection. That first Easter morning, they failed to comprehend what has happened. Last week, we heard how that first Easter afternoon, two disciples walk on the road full of grief, discussing the terrible things done to Jesus, things they witnessed. And then on the second Sunday of Easter, we heard how that first Easter night they are hiding behind locked doors, worried, afraid they will be killed like Jesus. In all these stories, the risen Jesus appears to his followers, shows the wounds of his passion, talks with his disciples, and in one account bestows his peace on them and breathes the Holy Spirit on them. But even with that, they don't know what to make of Jesus risen from the dead. So it is, for 40 days, Jesus appears to his followers after his resurrection, and during those days, Jesus instructs and teaches them. After he ascends into heaven, leaving them, the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost, and then they are forever changed. By the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they leave behind their fear. They let go of their doubts, their confusion. Filled by the Spirit, they journey literally to the ends of the earth. They proclaim Jesus crucified and risen. They do the works of Jesus. They care for those in need. They heal the sick. They even raise the dead. These first followers of Jesus, after the day of Pentecost, are hardly recognizable as the same people we see that first Easter day. And their transformation is obvious in our first lesson today from the Acts of the Apostles. This New Testament book, which really is a continuation of Luke's Gospel, tells the story of what happens to those first disciples of Jesus after his ascension and after the descent of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And so we hear in today's passage, those who had been baptized devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They are conformed to the teaching of Jesus, as Peter articulates it to them, and they become the witnesses of Jesus. They live as Jesus did in his earthly life and ministry. They are faithful in celebrating the Eucharist, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Like Jesus, the lesson tells us they own nothing individually. They have sold all their possessions and their goods. They have pooled their resources. And the funds raised by selling their property are held in common by the community. And then when someone has need, those funds are used to assist them. These first followers of Jesus also live lives that are different from other people's lives. We're told that these followers of Jesus ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. They are thankful for everything that God has given to them. And in response, they praise God. They lift their thankful hearts to God. They are respectful and care for and are generous with other people, providing for those in need. And so it is that after the resurrection of Jesus, receiving the power of the Holy Spirit, the followers of Jesus are dramatically and forever changed and transformed. They leave behind the ways of this world. They give up their possessions. They live in community with other Christians. They reject the ways of the world, ways of greed and violence. They don't give in to despair, but live the good news of profound hope, of the deep joy that is found in the resurrection of Jesus. Back in 2015, and I love it so much I'm using it again, but back in 2015 there was a blog post called Why We Need Resurrection by the author Ellen Painter Dollar. And in this post, she comments on the power of Jesus' resurrection to transform his followers. She writes, and I quote, "Something clearly happened that transformed a bunch of bumbling, dejected disciples into people of steady conviction, willing to travel the world preaching good news and die for it if necessary. I don't need to know exactly what happened or understand exactly how it happened to allow myself to be transformed by the resurrection. We don't have to understand exactly how something works for it to have power and meaning." Unquote. She then goes on to elaborate on that, and she compares this statement to how other things in her life, whether she understands them or not, changes her. She writes, and I quote again, "I don't understand how my dog's goofy presence makes me feel better on a lousy day, why I consider a piece of music beautiful, or how my gut feelings usually steer me in the right direction when it comes to big decisions. But all of those experiences are very real. I don't have to understand how the human canine bond or music or intuition work to know that these phenomena have real power to transform." Unquote. The resurrection of Jesus is like that. While we can't necessarily explain it, I don't pretend to fully understand it, yet the power of Jesus' resurrection nonetheless changes us. We follow the one death could not hold, the grave unable to contain love. Though the forces of sin and hatred and evil tried their best to kill the Lord of love by hanging him on the tree, the power of God's love was no match. Jesus is raised on the third day, overcoming death and the grave, and we are changed. We are set free, free from sin, from hatred, free from despair and fear. Against that lesson is the backdrop of our other lessons today, for this is the Sunday we remember Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And so the other scripture lessons remind us of this risen Jesus, the one whom we follow, is the good shepherd of the people. Psalm 23 assures us the shepherd leads us to green pastures and still waters, revives our weary souls. And though we come face to face with death itself, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we needn't fear. The Good Shepherd is with us, leading and guiding us to the table spread for us, to the cup that is running over. He is the shepherd who is the guardian and protector of our souls. And in our gospel today, John tells us how Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep, calling each by name, the sheep knowing his voice and following, how he protects the sheep from all danger and harm, and even lays down his life for the sheep, something a hired shepherd never would do. And then the gospel goes on to say Jesus is the sheep gate. The sheep gate is that opening in the sheep fold, which is an enclosure for the sheep, often made of stone. It keeps them safe at night. And Jesus is the gate of that fold, preventing danger from entering, preventing sheep from wandering away. Jesus, the shepherd, leads his sheep into that fold for safety. But it's important to remember whom we follow as the good shepherd, because this does not mean that no danger will ever befall us. There will be challenging times. There will be difficulties besetting us. And at the last, like all creatures, we will die. But in whatever we experience, Jesus is with us, the faithful shepherd calling us by name, leading us through trials. Jesus comes that we may have life and have it abundantly. And Jesus shows by example his way of love, the way that leads without question to suffering and to death, but also to the promise of resurrection life. For Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, dying that the sheep may have abundant life. And so I think this is the key to understanding as much as we can the power of resurrection to transform and change us. In the resurrection of Jesus, all powers of this world are destroyed. Following Jesus, we are set free from evil forces and we are rooted in the divine life of God. Through the resurrection, we are set free to live by gratitude and generosity, to know that our possessions ultimately will not save us. We are set free to live by love, just as Jesus loves, caring for the least and the forgotten, sharing abundantly with others what God has generously entrusted to us. We are set free from the individualism of our age with its reliance on self, its focus on individual needs, and instead are set free to build a community of mutual love and compassion, a community that practices justice and equity. And we are set free to tell all others the good news of the risen Christ. We are set free to be filled with awe and with gratitude to God that we cannot stop ourselves from sharing the good news. We can't help but invite others to join us in the breaking of bread and the prayers. We can't stop ourselves from inviting others to come and see how God is at work in our lives and in this community. Each age must discern how God is calling the church to minister in their own time. And we live in a challenging era, no doubt about it. It's a time when people are searching for meaning, searching for belonging. Many feel lonely and isolated, especially after these pandemic years. There is much upheaval and uncertainty in our country as well as in our world. Many people hunger for meaning, for ways to understand our current context. But thanks be to God, we follow Jesus. We stake our lives on the answers being found in the Christian life and calling and practice. In this household of God, we find welcome and belonging. The risen Jesus is revealed in Scripture, the breaking of bread and the prayers, revealed in community. By the Good Shepherd, we are changed and transformed and sent forth into the world in God's love. Like those first followers of Jesus, may the Holy Spirit so inflame our hearts that we boldly witness to the good news of the resurrection. May we share with others the hope we live by. May we invite others to come and see how God is at work in our lives and in this place, sharing everything that we know, that we have seen. Like those first followers of Jesus, may we live by awe and wonder for all God is doing in us and in the world. And may others look upon us and see our love for one another, that our lives are a witness to the risen Jesus. Through our witness, God's Spirit will indeed transform the face of the earth. Amen.